بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 25th of April in the year 2024 الحمد لله we moved on to the 83rd night that we're going through the illustrious and blessed life of the noble companion, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu. And I've reached a point where we're now mentioning the fateful battle of Siffin. And thus far I've mentioned the first encounter, which was at the vital water source. And according to what seems more logical, Sayyidina Muawiyah gave way so water could reach his opponents, i.e. Sayyidina Ali's forces, radiyallahu. The next section entitled, Rounds of Continuous Skirmishes. The fighting thereupon continued in the form of small skirmishes. So what does this mean? It means the whole army weren't engaging. There was like small little fractions coming forward to engage. It is related in Al-Bidayah 7-226, Tabari in his Tarikh 5-614. The leaders of these various skirmishes who were on Ali's side were Sayyidina Hujr ibn Adi, Sayyidina Ma'wal ibn Yasar, Khalid ibn Mu'tamar, Shabaf ibn Rabi, and Al-Ashtar. From Sayyidina Muawiyah's side, radiyallahu, the leaders of these skirmishes were Sayyidina Habib ibn Maslama, Abdul Rahman ibn Khalid ibn al-Walid, Ubaidullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab, Abu A'war al-Sulami, and Shurahbil ibn al-Samt. So these are some of the names. So there were skirmishes taking place. There were leaders on both sides. So some of the prominent names are mentioned. Hujr ibn Adi, a companion of the Prophet, was one of the leaders of the skirmishes on Ali's side. On Muawiyah's side, Khalid bin Walid's son was one of the leaders, Abdul Rahman. And Umar ibn al-Khattab's son as well, Ubaidullah, was one of the leaders. Both sides wisely avoided fighting with the entire army for fear of mass casualties and deaths. And they were ever hopeful of reconciliation, thus saving precious lives. So this was the wisdom. They were still thinking, even at that late hour of the day, there may be a breakthrough in terms of peace somehow. It is related, more than 20 skirmishes had taken place between the two sides during the first week of Zulhijjah. It was also said the number was 90. Recorded in Al-Anba, Bitawarikh Al-Khulafa, page 59. So if a person queries how many skirmishes, you say double figures. There was definitely more than 20. Some even go as far as to say there was 90 skirmishes taking place. Seeing the incessant deadlock on the last day of Muharram, Sayyidina Ali finally made the pronouncement. Tomorrow we will be employing an all-out attack. He then sent word of this to Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu. This is recorded in Al-Bidayah 7-273. So now just a query. Wasn't warfare prohibited in the holy months? I mentioned this earlier. And it mentions here this was the first week of Zulhijjah. So the response is, it wasn't a full-out encounter. It was a skirmish. A full-scale encounter was obviously prohibited. So on the very last day of Muharram, the last of the three holy months consecutive, meaning the next day is going to be Safar, the first non-sacred month, Ali made the announcement that on the first of Safar, we're going to be doing a full-out attack. And look how interesting. He sent word of this to Muawiyah. So why did he mention that to Muawiyah? The attack should be a surprise. Because unlike war with the unbelievers, there was to be no surprise attack against one's brothers in Islam. Look how interesting. This is one of the wisdoms why this battle took place. Normally, the element of surprise is what you look for. But you can't do this against your brothers if there's a war breaking out amongst them. So even though Ali was going flat out the next day, he made it clear to Muawiyah that we're going to do this. It is further related in Sa'id ibn Mansur in his Sunan 2-240. That night, the people rushed to repair and sharpen their weapons. Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu, brought weapons out of storage for those whose weapons had worn out and who needed them. And he also encouraged people to be steadfast in the fighting. So here the great name of Amr emerges again. So what is he doing, radiallahu? So he's the right hand of Muawiyah. And he's basically giving them weapons and preparing them, encouraging them for the next day's encounter. It is related that Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As, who was now around 92 years of age, prepared the army and appointed the commanders and said to encourage his forces. The people of Iraq are divided and weak. The people of Basra are opposed to Ali, radiallahu, because he killed some of them. And the strongest of the people of Kufa were killed in the Battle of the Camel. Ali is marching with a small group, amongst whom are those who killed your Khalif. Thus, do not fail in your duty to bring them to justice. This is recorded in Tabari in his Tariq 5-601. So look how brilliant. Was Amr aware of what's happening? Completely aware. It's like he's mixing amongst Ali's forces. How did he describe them? He goes, they're weak. They're divided. Not because of Ali, because he was the greatest man, but because of the fate that was dealt to him from the Sahaba to the Munafiqs, because they're weak. Secondly, the people of Basra are opposed to Ali. Why? Because I didn't go through this, but he killed some of them up to this point. So he goes, they're opposed to him. And he goes, the strongest of the people of Kufa were killed in the Battle of the Camel with Aisha. So how can they be united? Then he said, amongst them are those who killed your Khalif, Uthman. Do not fail in your duty to bring them to justice. So who was encouraging the people? Amr. He wasn't just saying, right, we're in the right, they're in the wrong. He was explaining to them. He goes, this is Muslim blood, but we are now explaining why we're going to war with them. Question, why wasn't Muawiyah leading the forces? So the response is, Hazrat Amr was far more experienced. He fought in the campaigns in Palestine, in Egypt, and of course, he was senior to Muawiyah as well in terms of embracing Islam. So maybe just like Abu Ubaidah appointed Khalid bin Walid, Hazrat Muawiyah maybe had done the same, given the responsibilities to Amr ibn al-As. Allah Ta'ala knows best. Note as always, Sayyidina Amr's astuteness. For indeed, the Amir al-Mu'mineen's forces were weakened due to these reasons. It is also related in Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat 4-255 that Sayyidina Amr radiallahu had thereupon inspected his troops and instructed them to straighten their ranks. So let's look at this. He's straightening the rows of the Mujahideen. Why? Because this is something that Allah Ta'ala loves. Allah Ta'ala, actually, there's a surah in the Quran called Surah Saf. Those arranged in rows. Allah Ta'ala loves this in Salah. He loves this in Jihad, i.e. discipline. So notice Amr following the Sunnah to the letter. He was making sure that they were straightening their ranks. So notice he was doing the major things which we consider major. Would we consider this a major thing? So note the Sunnah was precious to them. They wanted to make sure even on the battlefield, they get the Sunnah thing. It is also related in Tabari in his Tariq 5-662, but he has a weak chain, that Ali radiallahu anhu had also addressed his troops and urged them to be patient and courageous and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great deal. So you'd expect that. Amir al-Mu'mineen is doing the same. But this report has weakness, but the reason the scholars narrate it is because it makes absolute sense. So the next section entitled, the first day of the major encounter. So this is important. Minor skirmishes, delay, holy months, all of this we've discussed. Now we're getting to the main encounter. So there's no contradiction. The first day of the major encounter. In short, no negotiation and efforts for peace could be successful. And after the prohibited months for war passed, the flare-up started in full force on the 1st of Safar, 37 AH. So again, can't keep stressing enough, how old was Amr? 92. So, you know, if you think of a 92-year-old man now, you know, all I can think of is a person maybe, if he's walking, I think, mashallah, he's had a good innings. But if somebody's leading forces, organizing ranks, how mentally astute is he still? How physically astute is he? And notice Muawiyah has appointed him, meaning he must have both those capabilities. So don't think that he's frail. He's still also, and obviously we get examples even in our own lifetimes. We hear of people, maybe back home, working in the fields at the age of 100. So again, obviously Sahabi, you'd expect this. So don't start thinking like a frail old man, even though he was well into his old age. So what happened? Khalifa ibn Khayyad in his Tariq, page 193, and is graded Hassan. Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, volume 2, page 60 of the English translation in the chapter, and Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiya, rahmatullahi alayhi, similar. The forces of Ali were arranged in the following manner. Sayyidina Ali was in the center, radiyallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Abbas, his cousin, was on the left flank, radiyallahu anhu. Ammar ibn Yasir, radiyallahu anhu, was leading the infantry. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiya, Ali's son, was carrying the flag, rahmatullah alayhi. Hisham ibn Ataba was carrying the banner, the large flag. And Al-Ash'af ibn Qais was on the right flank. So don't worry, obviously, names are mentioned. But you should be at least acquainted with the names. Obviously, Ali's in the center, mashallah. Abdullah ibn Abbas, Tarjumanul Quran, the cousin of the Prophet, he's on the left. Ammar ibn Yasir, who was the aged companion, also in his 90s, he was leading the infantry. So, you know, you think an aged companion is going to be at the back. He's leading the infantry. Ali's son, why is that interesting? He's the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he's putting his son on the line. He's holding the flag. Another one of the nobles was carrying the banner, and Al-Ash'ath ibn Qais on the right side. The report continues. As for the forces of Ash-Sham, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu was in the battalion of Aleppo, the companions of polished armor upon a high hill. This is important. Hazrat Muawiyah was on the battlefield, but he was mainly, that we'd get a general in today's day and age, he was mainly organizing, seeing things through, but he was ready in case of the need was arose. And they were called the companions of polished armor. Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anh, was the leader of the cavalry of Ash-Sham. Look how beautiful. Who was leading the horses, the cavalry forces of the forces of Muawiyah, Amr. So again, note, he must be very fit still. Horse riding, not just horse riding, jumping over fences like they do now, prancing about, right? He's leading the forces in jihad. Zulqila al-Himyari was on the right flank along with the people of Yemen. The Yemen people had joined Muawiyah. Habib ibn Maslama al-Fahri, rahmatullah alayh, on the left along with the people of Mudar, a famous tribe. And al-Makharik ibn al-Saba'a al-Qila'i carrying the banner. So all these are names, so don't worry, I only mentioned them so that you realize that it's a structured battle that's taking place. Some names are more famous than others, some are less. Whatever the case, they were given honor by giving commands. The poet of Muawiyah's camp, so again, when I say a poet, you're getting all these strange things are happening at the end of time. Now you think of an effeminate person. You know, if somebody's a poet, you think of somebody frail, you know, battlefield, you think, well, he's not a warrior. A poet is a guy who, you know, just writes poems. But in those blessed days, they were warriors. The poet of Sayyidina Muawiyah's camp, Ka'ab ibn Ju'ail al-Taghlabi, rahmatullah alayh, he was grieving upon seeing the archers and the swordsmen prepare. And he recited the following poetry. The nation has awakened to a strange affair, and the possessions will be gathered tomorrow for the one who overcomes. I say a truthful word, no lies. Tomorrow, the notable of the Arabs will die. Subhanallah. Recorded in Al-Bidayah 7-273, Tabari in his Tariq 5-262. So nobody, it wasn't like we're yearning like normally in jihad. Paradise is underneath of the shade of swords the Prophet mentions. So you're fighting Muslims. So even though the poet usually is encouraging, he's actually looking at his own forces and he's seeing them obviously preparing. And he goes, this is ajeeb. He goes, I'm saying a word, no lies. Tomorrow, the notable of the Arabs will die. Meaning either side, I only see bloodshed. Alas, the two armies thereupon inevitably clashed, and fierce fighting erupted unabated till Maghrib, stopping only for the performance of Salah. What's strange about it is this. So imagine, you know, intense battle. Muazzin, does that zohr, as battle stops, wudu, time for Salat, get in ranks. Soon as Salat finishes, get back into position, start clashing again. Asr Azan, stop. You know, if you think about it, how ajeeb is this? And only until Maghrib the fighting. Why? Because then the darkness set in. The remarkable scene could thereupon be observed, that each side would offer Salah with his army, and between both of them were the corpses of the killed in the field that separated the two sides. Subhanallah. So look how, so it's a battlefield. People are dying. How are you offering Salat? So the dead were respectfully placed between the two forces. Right? Look at that. You know how ajeeb that is. And the prayer was offered. It is related, one of the individuals from the army of Ali radiallahu anh, asked him when he was leading Salah, O Amir al-Mumineen, what do you say about our casualties and their casualties? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anh said, those who were killed from us and who died seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the abode of the next will be in paradise. This is recorded in Sa'id ibn Mansur in his Sunan 2-344-5, but it has a weakness in the chain of transmission. So if I only narrated this, you get the impression that Amir al-Mu'mineen was saying only his side, the dead from his side, if they're sincere, will go to paradise. But that's not true. There's another report. In Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id 1-258, Ali responded to the same question. Those martyred from our army, as well as the army of Muawiyah, will all enter paradise. Subhanallah. So Hazrat Ali said it. He goes, they also are Muslim brothers. They're fighting sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They consider themselves to be on the truth. If they die sincerely in that state, they will go to paradise as well. So look how strange. Offering salat, organized, have great love and affection. They are martyrs, we're martyrs. You're thinking, why are you fighting? Because it's principle. The two armies thus stood firm and neither prevailed. No one was seen fleeing until the day finally ended and the two forces broke off their engagement. So what's the best way to describe this first major day of the encounter? One word, remarkable. If it wasn't recorded, you're thinking, what sort of a battle is this? And also, secondly, how organized they were. Thirdly, how brave they were. They didn't break. They were fighting. It's easy to fight rednecks. But if you're fighting your Muslim brothers and sisters, right? Well, brothers. It's not an easy matter because you're thinking his blood is sacred. And then shaitan's going to start playing with people thinking you're going to shed the blood of your Muslim brother. So again, this is another type of bravery which was being exhibited. It is further related that in the evening, Sayyidina Ali went out onto the battlefield and looked at the people of Sham, calling upon his Lord, making the following dua in grief. O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me and forgive them. Subhanallah. O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me and forgive them. This is recorded in Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf 15-297 with a weak chain of transmission. So during the night, obviously, Amir al-Mu'mineen's thinking is weighing heavily on him because the book stopped with him. He initiated hostilities. So when he's looking at the martyred and the wounded on both sides, he makes a dua. Because, Ya Allah, forgive me and forgive them as well. Whoever's in the wrong. In one report, an eyewitness mentioned, I saw Ali, radiallahu, on Rasulullah's mule, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a shahaba going around amongst the slain. So he had the mule of Rasulullah. This is in Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf. So now a question goes, hang on a minute, how old's the mule? Right? And the response is, there's a hadith which mentions whichever animal Rasulullah rode upon, it lived a long life. So how many years after Rasulullah are you talking? So Rasulullah has left the world in the year 11 AH. This is 37 AH, 26 years after his passing. So there shouldn't be a mule there. Why is Ali, now think to finish, why was Ali, why wasn't he just walking? He could have just walked amongst the dead, made a dua for them. Why do you think he was riding Rasulullah's mule and making this dua? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what do you think? Just, you know, hazard whatever you think. No one answer to this.
That's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do.
There was never civil war in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The blessings. Rasulullah's mule. So he was not just making dua. You get this impression that he was thinking, Ya Allah, this is the mule Rasulullah rode on. And I'm bringing this mule close to the deceased. Maybe he was saying, Ya Allah, bless the deceased through this blessed animal which I'm riding for the deceased. And also, it was a sign to the opponents. When they saw the mule, they remembered the Prophet as well. So look how amazing the whole scenario is. And was that mule harmed? No chance. Why? Because they know it's Rasulullah's mule, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So look how incredible the scene. Right? Even during the night, you're thinking Amir al-Mu'mineen is going to get some rest now. He's not, because he's really worried. And he's thinking, I need to make dua for the deceased. And he's going around both sides. And notice, nobody's harming him. Wasn't he getting too close to the opposing camp? This, that, and the other response is, he's Amir al-Mu'mineen. Nothing personal. You know, subhanAllah. So all I mentioned today was now the major encounter. I mentioned the rounds of continuous skirmishes. That wasn't the major encounter, ranging between 20 to 90. Why? Because the holy months were still progressing. But then the major encounter erupted on the 1st of Safar. And notice again, I now mentioned again, Amr ibn al-As. His name, blessed name, emerges again. He's encouraging his force to be steadfast. Why he was made the deputy, despite his advanced age. And then I mentioned, of course, what happened on that first major day of the encounter. And again, beautiful lessons, despite the fight we're going through, a tragic time in our history. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa billahi min ash-shaytanir rajeem, subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa tawassaw bil haqq, wa tawassaw bis sabr, sadaqallahu.